We are here with Kim of Anubis Gate. Kim, the first question I always ask everybody in every band is, what do you currently have going on, and talk about what the band's currently up to?
Yeah, I mean, the album has been finished for quite a while. So we're kind of gearing up for rehearsing and maybe some live stuff in the late summer. So that's what we're doing right now, and at the moment it's me and the new guitarist, Michael, rehearsing together so he can learn the old stuff, and we can both relearn the new stuff because we haven't played it since we recorded the album. So that's what we're doing right now, and we'll have our first full band rehearsal in 3 or 4 weeks, I think it is. So that's going to be really exciting because it'll be the first rehearsal of the new lineup.
One of the albums that I really think helped change the band was Andromeda Unchained. There was a certain maturity to the songwriting, and I always thought that you guys really did a killer job on that record. And, you know, when I think of songwriting maturity, again, you had some lineup changes, and, you know, this album, the new album Horizons, shows a lot of that, just a lot more of that, and you guys keep getting better as you get old.
Well, how do you explain a thing like that? I think, really, we just got older, older and better, like a wine, really, you know, the older it gets. So the new guys are awesome. So the old guys were awesome too. But I mean, always when you get some new blood in the band, you know, there is a rush of enthusiasm, and the band needs to prove itself once again. And I think that that was part of it too. You know, that we need. Because when you change 50% of a band, people are going to be skeptic. People are going to say, can they pull it off? And we needed to prove that, yeah, of course, we're in the greatest shape ever. So I think a lot of it was behind that. But then again, a lot of the album was written when Jesper and Morten left the band. So, but some of it is down to us really wanting to prove ourselves.
Now, you released an EP back in January, I believe it was January, or a while back, where, you know, you had one song off the new album, and you had the Mr. Mister cover, and you also had the Pink Floyd cover, and, you know, just maybe tell fans a little bit about that EP, and, you know, some of them may not have downloaded it, and it was kind of like a teaser, you know, kind of like a teaser for this upcoming album here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's still up on NightmareRecords.com. Yeah, well, the new album took a bit longer to make than we had expected, so we didn't make it. It didn't make it for the release window of 2013. So the two cover songs were recorded at the same time as the rest of the album. And I spoke to our record label, Nightmare Records, about it, and I suggested that we put it up on iTunes and depart people from their hard-earned pay. And Lance, the boss of Nightmare, said, no, you should give it away for free. Keep the fans happy, because after all, if you are not keeping the fans happy, you would not be making albums anyway. And I mean, that made perfect sense to me, so we just put it out for free. And we toy around with different arrangements of songs before we settle on a final arrangement. And Destined to Remember, we had both a short version and a version that was a bit longer, and we gave the short version away and put the long version on the album. There are also some things that are on the short version that are not on the album version. So it's kind of, they are pretty exclusive to each other. So, yeah, and the Pink Floyd song was my idea. because I've always, it's my favorite Pink Floyd song from my favorite Pink Floyd album. And I knew it would make a good Anubis Gates song. So I kind of lobbied for it, and to tell you the truth, Henrik wasn't that keen on it until he heard the final version, you know, with everybody playing and his vocals on. Then he liked it. The other cover song was Broken Wings from, you know, originally by Mr. Mister, and that was a fan suggestion, actually. And Henrik was dead keen on doing that one because he loves Mr. Mister. So he was easily talked into that one.
You know, I mentioned the songwriting earlier on this new album, but one of the things that I thought really took a step up was the production of this album.
Jacob Hansen, who is always mixing our albums, you know, he's improving his skills. I mean, he has always made our albums sound good, but they have progressively been even better. And in the meanwhile, here in Denmark, he has become a really big rock producer, not just a metal producer. And I think a lot of the things he has learned producing regular rock albums kind of manifested themselves in the production of this album. I mean, if you listen to the snare sound on this album, it's going to get nerdy now, but I hope the listeners don't mind. If you listen to the snare sound on this album, you can hear all the tiny little details that are in the snare, and that's even with, you know, four down-tuned guitars playing through Marshall stacks at high volume. You can still hear all the tiny little details. I mean, that's just... It's friggin'... No, you can't say that. It's really amazing.
You can say friggin'.
You can say friggin'. It's friggin' amazing. So, I mean, you can hear... If there was a needle dropped on the floor during the recording of this album, you would be able to hear it. And, I mean, that's one of the things about mixing Anubis Gate. I'm there with Jacob because I kind of, you know what I want. But Jacob and I have worked together so many times, not just on Anubis Gate albums, but with me as a session player in his studio. And we understand each other really well. And I just have to say, can we turn that knob? And he knows exactly what I mean. So, and the things we have learned over time is how to make space in the production for all the layers that are in the music, because we must be the metal band out there that puts the most things into the music. There can be, you know, 10 guitar tracks going on at the same time as 15 synthesizer tracks and stuff like that. And it doesn't, of course, it weighs the production a bit down, but it doesn't get too much, I would say, anyway. So that's the thing we have learned over all these years, is how to create space, you know, how to make the guitars sound a bit thinner without it being noticeable for the listener, but just enough to make room for all the acoustic guitars and all the loops that are going on and the synthesizer stuff and all the vocals.
Well, talk a little bit about the lyrics on the album. You know, are any of these songs related? Are they loosely related? Do they have any type of concept going on? And, you know, talk a little bit about the lyrical content of many of these songs.
Yeah, there's no real concept about it. But a few of the songs are linked together thematically. The song that's called Never Like This is about the dream world, and what if the dream world really is the real world and things like that, kind of like, you know, the Inception movie. And the long track A Dream Within a Dream is about the same thing. So they are kind of linked both lyrically and musically. Some of the things that goes on in Never Like This, which is kind of the short pop track on the album, reappears in the long track, but arranged differently. And the songs Hear My Call and Airways are also like part one and part two of the same story. Hear My Call is about an athlete who runs in the desert and gets injured and gets handicapped by his accident. And Hear My Call is about him trying to crawl to back to civilization to get help. And Airways is about the afterlife. What do you do when you're an injured athlete and you can't do sports anymore? How do you recover from that? So they are linked together. So there are some, you could call it mini concepts within the album, but it's not a concept album as such.
You know, as a fan of the band since the first album, Kim, you know, one of the things that I've always, you know, one of the things that's really hard for people to find are your earlier releases. And I know you talked a little bit about reissuing them digitally. And do you still have plans to reissue many of the back catalog albums?
Well, yeah, the plans have changed a bit because we had a legal battle with our old record company, Locomotive Records, which issued the first four albums. Because they kept selling them on iTunes without paying us. They haven't paid us since 2007, actually. And, you know, they just kept selling the albums and pocketing the money. And we finally got them to take them down from iTunes and Amazon. So now, in a couple of days, they'll be up, put up by ourselves on iTunes, so we can make the money off them ourselves. But we have also noticed that the four old albums, the CD versions of those, they go for quite inflated prices on eBay and Amazon too. I mean, I saw someone wanting 2,000 euro for a mint condition, A Perfect Forever, which is very inflated, but, you know, someone might go along with it. So we are doing a fundraiser after the release of Horizons, a fundraiser for the release of the first four albums and a CD of rare and unreleased tracks, kind of like a box set. So that'll be the next thing to happen.
Well, that's pretty cool because, you know, The Detached and Andromeda Unchained and, you know, pretty much every album in your back catalog I thought was really, really good.
Oh, I'm glad to hear. I mean, we have done some calculation on it, and we need to move about 300 to 400 box sets before it becomes a reality. And I don't know if the demand is that high. I mean, that's why we're doing a fundraiser. That's why Nightmare Records is not just taking the plunge, because it could mean them losing a lot of money, and I totally understand that. You know, when you're a small independent record company, you can't afford to take those kind of chances too many times, because it might be the end of the company. So that's why we'll go the way of a fundraiser.
Well, I'm really liking this new album quite a bit, Kim, because it, you know, it shows a maturity, it's got great production, and it has great songs, and this could probably be my favorite Anubis Gate album to date. I think you guys really, really did a great job at writing and recording this record, and one of the songs that I was really, really impressed with, and probably my favorite track on the album, is a song called Hear My Call.
Oh, yeah, and thank you, by the way. I would say it's my favorite Anubis Gate album as well. I mean, when we were doing the previous album, I thought, okay, we're making a good, the self-titled one, we're making a good album, it's a beautiful album, but I didn't have that we're doing the best album we've ever done feel when we did that one. And I had that feeling with Horizons. So, yeah, Hear My Call, a great song, and what makes it great for me is that even though Michael joined the band when about 70% of the album was written, the first thing he did was write a whole song himself, and a couple of my ideas ended up in the song, but basically it's Michael's song, and I just thought, yeah, he has the confidence to be new in the band and say, hey, I've got a song for you. And that was what I wanted from him. So that was awesome. And I love the song too. I think the chorus is the best chorus we've ever had on an Anubis Gate song, actually. It's really infectious.
So do you have any plans to play any shows? Any touring plans for the band?
Well, we played too few shows. I mean, the last show we did was Prog Power Europe. That's a festival in Holland. And that was like, 2012, I think. So, and we never toured because it's simply too expensive. We are all in our 40s now, and we have children and homes and mortgages to pay and cars to pay and careers to attend to. And playing a tour as a support band means paying at least $500 per gig just to play. And it will also mean each one of us taking a month of work to tour. So if you do the math on that, it'll be hugely expensive. So, I mean, if we had the money for it, if we were a big band like Dream Theater or something, of course we would. But for a small band, it's just not financially viable to do. It's sad, it's like that, but, you know, that's how the world is.
So talk about some other things you got going on. I mean, you obviously have other musical projects and other things that you do besides Anubis Gate, and talk a little bit about those things.
Well, yeah, I work full time as a guitar teacher, so that's what I do in my as a civil person. And I mean, I play cover gigs each weekend, gigs in cover bands, which I love doing. So, and it's a great way to make money also, and it keeps your playing sharp. And one other thing I do is that I do sessions as a keyboard player. I'm doing one tomorrow, actually, for a band called The Arcane Order, a fantastic Danish extreme metal band. So that's kind of what I do. Musically, I've got a lot going on. Too much for my own good, actually.
You know, there's a lot of really great bands out there in a lot of other countries, and sometimes I think Denmark, like some other countries in Europe and maybe other parts of the world, they get overlooked. And what are some really killer bands that you guys have in Denmark?
Oh yeah, we have good bands in Denmark. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of Mercenary. They're pretty cool, and we have Volbeat, of course. And but the thing about the Danish metal scene is that the Danish listeners, they like, you know, more extreme kinds of metal. So we don't really fit into the Danish metal scene, and that is also why we don't gig very much. Because we have a joke about it. We say if you have melodic vocals here in Denmark, you can forget about it. So I mean, our market is not really Denmark. You know, our markets are more like, you know, Germany and United States and those countries. And of course, it's not easily done. Packing your guitars down and going to the United States and saying, okay, now we're going to do a gig. So so that's also one of the reasons we are not that active on the scene, because we are kind of in our own bubble, you know, constantly writing and creating new material and sort of, you know, when it's time to gig, we're already in the middle of making the next album, and it almost gets in the way for us. Oh, we've got a gig. Oh, we've got to rehearse. I mean, okay, but we're just creating this. And, yeah, it's fair to say we're in our own bubble, in a world of our own, unreachable for the Danish scene.
Well, I mean, everybody, I mean, if you ask most people, when they think of someone from Denmark, they think of the Pretty Maids most of the time, at least the people.
Yeah, great band, actually. I mean, they are still active, Pretty Maids, and they're making good albums. So,
Well, you said in Denmark that you really don't have, like, a huge following or anything over there, but, you know, what other countries do you see yourself getting a really, really big response from? What countries do you think really resonate with you?
United States, we get a lot of good response from. Germany would be somewhere we get a good response from. I mean, Northern Europe, generally, not counting Scandinavia, because that's the thing with Scandinavia, they want the kind of... they want Cookie Monsters on their metal albums. But Northern Europe, I mean, we do have fans in Southern Europe, but they kind of like, when it gets melodic, they kind of go for the more Halloween, chibi stuff, you know, the kind of thing. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what I mean.
Well, Kim, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, like, you know, when you speak of the States, it's funny that you mention that because we did an interview before, obviously, a couple years back. And I remember when we did that interview, and I remember most of the emails that I was getting from people. You know, I got a couple from Europe here and there, you know, because, but the show's on really late, obviously. But I had a ton of email from the States, and most of the people, 90% of the people that actually downloaded the interview were from the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. And you could also say that when you change a record label from having a European record label to having an American record label, maybe it's not so surprising that kind of the focus in sales also changes, because it's, of course, easier for an American record label to push an album in America than it is to push an album in Europe. But, you know, on the other hand, things like that are getting blurred, because really you don't need distribution anymore, because either people are buying it digitally or they're buying the CD from Amazon, from any Amazon in Germany, or Amazon in Amazon.com, or anywhere, you know. So you don't really need distribution, because once you put an album out, you have a global distribution anyway.
So what are some of your favorite songs on this album, Kim? I mean, you know, if I'm a new fan of this band, or I'm new to this album, and you were to recommend certain songs to listen to first, you know, what would be some of those tracks, and what are really some of your favorite songs on this album?
Yeah, I mean, the first song I would say people should listen to is Destined to Remember, actually, because that's kind of very much us, and it's, you know, the song that, when you hear it, you would say, oh, that's a New Biscuit, isn't it? And to me, I mean, the song called Airways is kind of a song that I like a lot, because we dared to do some new things. We dared to kind of have a bit of a Led Zeppelin twist on it here and there, and the verses are kind of, you know, kind of, they have some techno sense and are very spacey, and the chorus is a bit like, you know, a metal version of Depeche Mode or something, and I think we walked the line on that one, and I really love it for that. Yeah. Also, the title track is one of those kind of left field tracks, I would say, where we kind of tried to make an epic, but a short epic. So, yeah, I mean, it was a bit inspired, again, by Led Zeppelin's Akil's Last Stand, which everybody knows is kind of 20 minutes too long. So maybe that was our short version of that song.
Well, Kim, as I ask every band, and as I've asked you before, in the past, you know, do you have any last words to say to the fans that are checking this out and will be checking out not only the new album, but checking out this interview that we're going to air?
Thanks for listening. It would be a really, really great. And I mean, if they are new fans, and they're having troubles finding the old albums at decent prices, they should have patience and not pay ridiculous prices, because there will be this fundraiser, and hopefully we'll get physical copies out to those who want physical copies of the old albums.